Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series S and X, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE Engine's immersive physics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice, your choice, that is. From the sword and shield-wielding fighter to the illusion-conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world, literally. Oh, and did I mention the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while your dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs or raging waters. Visit dragonsdogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's dragonsdogma.com to learn more.
Spaghetti with Brussels sprouts and Parmesan. Mmm, that is just one of the delicious new fall recipes I have discovered thanks to HelloFresh. Find out why HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, when you use code FACE14 at HelloFresh.com/FACE14.
This is a Rooster Teeth production.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Face Podcast. I'm Jeff, Andrew, Gavin. It has been too fucking long since we recorded. Andrew, what's the RFA?
I didn't think this was going to be a show thing necessarily. I don't think it's that. I guess if it's interesting enough to talk. So
it's hockey, so important we're leading off
no,
the podcast
it's
with
just,
it.
It was a funny, I love how petty the NHL can be and how dumb it is. There is a rule, so when you draft a player, right, they immediately are on a rookie contract. You sign them to a rookie deal. There are limits to that. The first time a rookie finishes his rookie contract, he becomes a restricted free agent, meaning that any team in the league can offer him a contract, but if he accepts it, the team that drafted him has a week to match it. Mm-hmm. If they don't match it, the team that sent the contract steals the player and compensates the team with picks. That's what a basic RFA is. Now, that's a completely legal rule, but it's sort of an unwritten agreement between all of the general managers that nobody ever takes advantage of it, because it only helps the players and it fucks each other over. It like increases their value. So from a cap perspective, they're like, we will not do this. If you want to negotiate long with your rookie coming off his deal, nobody will try to poach him. It happens very rarely. There's a time it happened where it almost caused a fist fight between two general managers. A few days ago, maybe like a week at this point, the Carolina Hurricanes sent an offer to a Montreal Canadiens player, and he signed it. So it was a whole thing of like, this rarely happens. It was like a $6 million contract with a $20 signing bonus. And the reason why they did the $20 signing bonus is because a few years ago, the Canadiens offer sheeted one of the Carolina Hurricanes players, and his jersey number was 20. They did not forget. They held onto that for years. And then at the first point in which they could get revenge, offer sheeted a guy with the same jersey number and a $20 signing bonus. There's no reason for it outside of just pure pettiness. That's what an RFA is.
So it's like an FU.
It was a total FU.
It's an RFA FU.
Yes, exactly.
It's the very rarely used RFA FU. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they view all RFAs FUs as like that's always an FU. I don't think there's been one that isn't an FU.
That's fair.
That was what I wanted to talk about. I don't know if that's, I didn't listen.
Was that one of your five things you have written down?
Why do you think I have five things written down?
Didn't you earlier say you had five bullet points to talk about?
No, I never said that.
Do you have five?
I don't know. I haven't counted. I could have sworn when I came in before we started the podcast, I heard you say I have five things on my list to talk about today.
No, God. I never said that.
Where did I hear that then?
I have no idea. Eric, could Eric back me up? Eric was here. Eric's been here since the beginning.
I mean, Nick is backing up Jeff.
Oh, Nick is?
I don't remember Andrew saying that he had five things, but for the sake of content, yeah, Andrew, you said that you had five things written down.
Well, Nick hasn't
recorded. Maybe he had five things. Like, you went to Scotland recently?
Thank you.
No.
I knew it, Nick. Nick says, I have 5 bullet points, ellipses. I knew it. You definitely said that.
I never said I have 5 bullet points. That is
maybe
not
you said
a thing
you have 5
I would
bullets.
Say. It feels unnatural to say now. I don't think that's a thing I would say. I said I have 5 bullets.
You said you have that's, 5 bullets. You
yes,
did say that,
that
you have 5 bullets.
That was in reference to a bet. That was my betting. Those are my, yeah, that's not conversational. I have 5 bullets for betting.
Oh.
That's where the misunderstanding was.
You know the common phrase, I have 5 bullets?
I got five bullets.
I do. That's how I view it. I'm going to probably miss all 5, but it's fine.
It's a risky game of Russian roulette.
Is it?
Gavin.
If you got 5 in the chamber?
Well, it depends how many guns you're playing with. If I'm playing with 20 guns, it's a pretty good chance. Good odds.
Wow, that turned around on me. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Gavin.
Yeah.
Welcome home, buddy. I've missed you so much. Don't ever leave me again.
I heard that you went jet skiing without me.
I had to. What am I going to do? You're not in town. I do have a funny little story about that. And that is the thing we should talk about is between the time... How long has it been since we recorded, by the way? About
3 weeks.
It might as well be 15 years.
It feels like over a month, but I guess it wasn't.
Yeah. It's been the longest 3 weeks of my life. And I made a point of... Because I knew, Gavin, I knew you were going home to visit your family, and I wanted, I don't know, I don't want to bug you with America. So I haven't talked to you at all in 3 weeks.
It's true.
You wanted time, I wanted you to have, like, unfiltered time with your family and your friends from England, and not be reminded of all the dumbassery.
Well, you did check in once, and that was very nice, but just the one time.
So yeah, I just said, hey, I hope you're doing well, I don't want to bother you. Yeah, I did. But I wanted you to know I was thinking about you.
It was very nice.
How was your vacation, man?
Oh, it was so good. It was so nice to see the fam, and I feel very refreshed. I feel like being away from content and being away from being able to make it, like physically being blocked from making content, spurs a lot of creative thoughts, so I feel very nicely refreshed.
Dude, I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to speak for Andrew, but I feel like he and I have both been kind of pulling our hair out because there's so much to talk about, and we keep having ideas and things we want to dive into, and we just haven't been able to. And I've been like itching to get to this fucking podcast. I don't know about you, Andrew.
It's a really weird thing where I almost have, it's, I don't know how to describe it really. It's like there's so much to talk about. I'm scared we won't talk about any of it. Like there's so much, I don't know how to sort through what we should talk about. And in my head, there's a fear of there's actually nothing to talk about because there's so much to talk about.
You're paralyzed by options. Yeah.
You're wasting all of this time you could be talking about it by worrying about whether or not you're going to talk about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're starting now, but I'm saying leading into this podcast, I had nerves going into this one. I haven't had like real anxiety about doing the show in quite a while. And I was just sitting constantly thinking, do we have too much to talk about?
Yeah, we
in
do.
A sense that we won't cover any of it.
I think there are two things. There are two things we could talk about, two major things that Andrew and I have been talking about that are in entire episodes by themselves.
OK.
And then I have a bunch of stuff written down. And Andrew, you have your 5 bullets. And then,
I do.
And Gavin, I assume you, with all of the creative juices, you've got a ton you want to talk about, so...
I actually have 5... I have 5 bullet points.
You have 5 bullet points?
Well, let's
How
go.
Many guns
let's
do
hear,
you have?
Let's hear number one.
Oh, I feel like I need to... Oh, I have... okay.
Hold on, on the spot. I didn't mean to put you on the spot by responding to the thing you said.
I got really annoyed when I found this out. Okay.
Okay.
How many episodes of the Jerry Springer Show did they make?
700.
Andrew, guess? Oh, no. It's going to be way more than 700.
Yeah, 10,
that thing, I feel like. Yeah, I'm going to say 5,000 episodes.
Oh, my God, Andrew. They made 4,969 episodes.
Pretty good.
But why didn't they just stop at 5,000? It's insanity. I read that and got really annoyed at the Jerry Springer Show. I mean, it was a terrible, shitty show for like decades. But why didn't they just finish out a nice round 5,000 shows and then stop? They're going to stop like 30 episodes short? Mental.
Is there a 5,000 club that they could have joined?
Ooh,
oh, I don't know.
I bet there is. There's got to be a 5,000 club.
I feel like he stopped because it just probably was like all his soul that could take, like all of his soul was gone at that point. Like he's just morally beaten down. Like people were probably saying like, we could get the 5,000. We're so close. It's such a great number. And he's just like, I can't do it anymore. There's only so much I can handle.
He probably just felt morally bankrupt about
profiting
off the people on the poverty line for 20 years.
Or he woke up every morning and rolled through his mansion of money to his car and thought, why the fuck am I getting in the car and going to work when I don't have any room for all the money that I have?
Do you think it was sort of like, and I didn't watch the Springer show regularly. I feel like it's sort of the same episode every single time. Is it like living in a Groundhog Day scenario? Do you think making that show?
Yeah, I bet
maybe that could have been a loop.
He must have said someone's name and then watched that person walk out and slap the shit out of someone sat in a chair 1,000 times. How often did that happen? It seems like it was...
It feels like that's all that show. It would be like if somebody just walked into this show and said, what's a condiment, and left, and that was their job. Like, it was just they're instigating for no reason. That's all they have to say. That was what he did. All he did was instigate for 4,962 episodes of Chefs.
An impressive run.
He also gave his final thoughts, you know, where he tied it all together and taught a moral lesson at the end, you know, where he just sits there on his chair, as like director's chair, and addresses the audience.
I wonder if with 5,000 episodes to look through, almost, could you base your life on only Jerry Springer's final thoughts? Can you just take all of his values and base a living around it? Springer didn't mention it, you can't do it.
I'm guessing that there's probably a book. I bet there's a Jerry Springer, like, My Thoughts book that you could use as a thought Bible for that purpose.
I want like an episode breakdown book. Like, it's just a fully every episode written down and him giving little notes about each show. Just a giant encyclopedia sized thing of trash.
Hey, man, I don't know if you've checked the trash lately, but Eric's got some conflicting information he's posting.
Interesting. Ooh. Guiding Light, 15,000 episodes. Oprah Winfrey Show, 4,500. Jerry Springer Show, 5,084. Interesting. Because on the Jerry Springer Show Wikipedia page, it's listed as 4,969.
I wonder if they roll in some of the Steve Show in that, potentially.
What's the Steve Show?
Well, you know, that cop that was like the security guy?
Yeah,
they spun him off into his own show produced by the same company that was...
Wait, the security guy was a cop?
He was a retired Chicago police officer. Yeah.
Shouldn't he have just arrested everyone that came out?
Well, I think he was retired. I think he was retired at that point. But yeah, he eventually... I don't remember his last name, but he eventually had his own show. Steve from Jerry Springer.
Interesting.
What was like the most escalated thing that happened on that show? Like, remember how the host of Cheaters got stabbed? I think that was fake, but...
Steve
like,
Wilkos,
what was,
that's it.
Did Jerry Springer ever get stabbed? Like, what's the closest to
an escalation?
I don't
think he got stabbed. I think, what was it? Geraldo got his nose caved in by a chair.
Yeah.
What happened? What, like somebody threw a chair at him or hit him with a chair?
It was just like a big brawl. I think there may have been some white supremacists involved and someone chucked a chair or something.
Interesting.
Interesting times for television.
Dude, and before that, you don't like that generation's version of that show. Before that, there was a guy named Morton Downey Jr. who was like the prototype for what Jerry Springer became, and I think the Morton Downey Jr. show was actually more hardcore.
Is there just like a large percentage of Downey Juniors?
Steve,
you don't hear a lot of juniors, but if your surname is Downey, it's likely that there'll be a junior.
I think it's a requirement, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about that, but you are right.
I don't know a lot of other multiple juniors.
I don't either.
Yeah, I can't name any.
Maybe the comment leavers have some.
Yeah.
That come to mind. All right, well, that was one bullet point down, Gavin. What's next?
No, I'm passing it over to you guys.
I got a bullet point. I got a Gavin bullet point that I feel like this is the thing we talked about. I learned about this last night. This is very exciting. I don't know how many... I have a feeling that a lot of people will know this. I did not realize this. At one point, Gavin, I feel like you asked me, what is the most common thing I don't know? Or like, what is the most... Yeah. Yeah, I learned last night. I had no idea that this was a thing. If you hold shift down, it capitalizes your letters. I had no idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to go... That one is mental. Because...
I had no idea. I've been caps locking my whole life.
You've been caps locking a single letter at a time and then uncaps locking?
Yeah, every time. Yeah, I would have issues sometimes.
Oh,
one of
my God,
biggest annoyances is when, because I don't look when I type, is if I screw up the caps lock combination where I make all the little letters big and the big letters small because I'm caps locking. Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't know you could do that with shift.
But when you're typing on a phone and you put like a full stop, and then you start typing again, it automatically shifts to uppercase. Like, what did you think that was doing? The shift, like, lights up.
I just assumed that, like, it knew first letter of the sentence, like, once I put a period.
Oh, my God.
That it would then just automatically capitalize for you. I didn't really, like, I never paid attention to the function on the keyboard. I also don't know if that's true.
So how did you get to the symbols? You were shifting numbers to get symbols, right?
Yeah, I shift for symbols, but that's all I use the shift for. I'm not a big shift user. I don't use the shift regular.
But you shift for symbols, and every time you hit the shift key for symbols, it changes everything to caps. You never noticed that?
I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're saying. I've never tried to type in a letter while holding shift.
Never.
If I'm putting a symbol in, I'm holding the shift for the symbol, then releasing the shift.
The reason I had like kind of a flat reaction to that, I thought that it was going to continue. Like, did you know that if you held shift and pressed X or whatever, that
yeah.
You just ended it. If you held shift, it capitalized the letter.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Basically, you just ended it with, like, did you guys know shift?
Yeah.
How?
I didn't know. Like, well, I think Eric even taught me that shift is how you drop down without hitting submit. Like, if you hold shift and enter, it'll drop down on the thing. I didn't know that. I never hit shift outside of making symbols. Shift is the symbol key to me.
I felt dumb the other day because my girlfriend taught me that if you hold the space bar down on your iPhone when you're typing, you can then move your cursor to anywhere within the text so you can edit much faster. And I thought, how have I been doing this wrong all these years? How much of my life have I wasted on my iPhone trying to like precisely get to where I needed to fix a letter? And you just made me feel like I felt so dumb. You've made me feel so much smarter. I got to thank you, actually.
I just wasn't aware. I don't know if it's a dumb thing. I just didn't know. Nobody told me. I missed
that. Who taught you a keyboard?
That was in school. I was taught how to type in school.
I would love to see the first time you typed, and I bet it was something as simple as, I bet it was a classic butterfly flapping its wings out a window, and you just zoned out for like 6 seconds, looked at a butterfly, and then didn't hear the shift bit. And then you lived the rest of your life incredibly inefficiently.
I bet this is exactly like how I switched math classes in the third grade for 1 week and I missed Roman numerals. And now, you know, 46 years into my life, I still don't know Roman numerals. I bet you called in sick that day. Maybe you had a tummy ache or whatever on shift day and you were just fucked for the rest of your life. That's actually not your fault. I feel bad for you.
I missed the first two lessons of French that I had. So I missed numbers and letters. Absolutely screwed me for the whole year I did French. I don't know anything.
Those are the two keys to French, numbers and letters. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You think your stuff is kept private, but you never know who's going through your underwear or your online receipts to see what kind of collectible items you've been buying. Maybe it's in the spoon or thimble realm. Wouldn't know if it was me, though, because I keep that shit locked down with ExpressVPN. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers can see every single spoon you look at and browse. They can legally sell your thimble shopping information without your consent to ad companies or tech giants or unscrupulous thimble dealers who then use that data to target you. Browse more anonymously with your ExpressVPN so ISPs can't see this incredibly important private online activity. Your data is anonymized by a secure VPN server, so it could be spoons, it could be doghouses, maybe you're buying diatomaceous dirt. I don't know. Neither do they, because your data is encrypted for maximum protection. It's also easy to use, so fire up the app and click one button. And it works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everybody on your Wi-Fi can be protected. You know why it's important to me? Because I got stuff I'm buying and I don't want you to know about it. It's a cutthroat, dog-eat-dog world collectible spoon market out there, and I cannot have my data, I cannot have the intricacies of the wheeling and the dealing that I do on the spoon market. I can't have it leaked, I can't have it out there, I can't have people seeing it. These are trade secrets that I have. In terms of buying low and selling high. And it's none of your business. It is mine. That's why you should go to expressvpn.com/face to get 3 extra months free on a one-year package. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/face today. That is expressvpn.com/face. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. That's a different podcast. Not a Rooster Teeth podcast. expressvpn.com/face. Apologies to Bill Burr for stealing his free. Hey, bud. It's me, Jeff. I'm here to talk to you about toilets and toilet accessories. That's right. It's the Tushy Modern Bidet Attachment. You have heard us here at Face talk about our bidets ad nauseum. And I'll tell you why. It's because we're bidet believers. It's because we're sold on the concept. We like to wash away the messiest poops and leave our little buttholes pristine and clean and ready to go. Is your butt clean enough to sit on a couch naked? Mine is. Go get it. As a matter of fact, I didn't used to sleep naked. And now that I have a Tushy, I used to sleep in underwear. Now that, or like a jammy pants. But now that I have a bidet, I sleep in the nude. I sleep commando. And I don't worry at all that I'm going to wake up covered in filth. Because I don't. It doesn't happen. Because I know that when I use my bidet and I put my little head on that pillow and my little butt cheeks on the bed, I'm going to sleep sound and wake up clean. All thanks to Tushy, the modern bidet for people who poop. Just poop, wash, and pat dry. But don't trust my word for it. Trust my word for it. It washes your bum with water, which makes it infinitely cleaner than toilet paper, and there's no little, residue, as it were. It's less irritating to wash with water, and it's super soothing for your butthole. It's like a little butthole massage every time. It's like a little water butt massage. It's easy to install and attaches to your toilet in under 10 minutes without electricity or plumbing needed. Thanks, because I'm not an electrician, and I'm definitely not a plumber. And using a Tushy bidet reduces your toilet paper usage by 80%. And that saves you money. And it means it's eco-friendly. And hey, it's stylish to boot. We don't have to live ugly. We can live stylish. Start washing with a Tushy bidet for a better clean. Go to hellotushy.com/face to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners at hellotushy.com/face for 10% off. After you buy and install your Tushy, show it off. Tag us at hellotushy.com on Instagram.
You weren't there for the last break shit we did, Gavin. I felt incredibly stupid because we were opening football cards. And either Jeff or Eric, I think Jeff said, what's LVI? And he meant Roman numerals. In my head, I was thinking like MVP, like it stood for something.
Oh.
So I was like, least valuable information. Or like I replied it in a word sense. And they're like, it's Roman numerals. I felt
what is L50?
Yes.
Was that 56 LVI?
I don't know. I have no idea. I know it's not least valuable information.
I know. We covered it in the break show, which, by the way, we did a break show without you. It wasn't the same without you. We missed you, but it was still a fun time.
We did.
Well, I'll be there for the next one. You also could have waited 2 days and I would have been back, but that's fine.
Well, we couldn't. which we should get to at some point. One of the things we need to talk about is from that break show, and it includes you whether you want it to or not.
Okay.
We picked for you.
I hate his pick. And I hate what has transpired since his pick.
He's going to win. Gavin has no
it's
idea.
It's the most
he's
Gavin
win.
Thing of all time.
Yeah. Everyone's been asking me about this. Jack's like, oh, what's this stuff about this bet? And Eric was asking me something about it yesterday. I don't know what anyone is talking about. And it's weird that I'm involved. So what happened?
Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to go to Vegas in a couple weeks. And I'm going to place my bet. And I'm going to place your bet for you as well. Just so that you get taken care of.
But I'm not going to Vegas.
I mean, you can go to Vegas if you want to, but I'm just saying, if you don't, I'm going to already be there, so I'll place your bet for you if you need.
We should probably explain everything so he knows what
explain
we're talking
something.
About.
Explain something. Explain anything.
If we do, this is the rest of the episode.
You think so?
I don't know, man. Maybe. Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Andrew, this is you.
Okay, so Jeff and I talked about in the past, before, even before Face, doing this idea where we were going to use spells on NBA players and then make bets based off of the spells that we sent towards the player. There are different versions of this idea. We're at one point going to have like a sorcery battle between the Wizards and the Magic, which are two different NBA teams, have a battle of like magic between them.
This feels like French again. I feel like I've missed the letters and the numbers. What the hell are you talking about?
All right, so there's an NBA team called the Wizards. There's an NBA team called the Orlando Magic. We think it's funny that they both had Magic-based names, so we thought, what if we hired like voodoo practitioners and magicians and like brujeria people, and we had them play spells and curses on players and well, at different times, it definitely leaned into the curse. we've posited it up because we don't want to get sued. But we definitely had a period where we were going to like hex players and shit and see if we could affect the outcome of a game. Andrew would be one of the teams, I'd be the other, and we would duel with magic.
So what the origin of this thought was, I was thinking about how when athletes are successful in things, like whether it be, you hear it a lot in combat sports, but you hear it in all sports, they'll be like, I want to thank God or Jesus for that. And then I thought, I've never heard a player on the losing side say, like, they had God on their side. Like, Jesus blocked my three-point attempt. I don't know what you want from me. Yeah. I made a great shot.
Oh, you're saying, like, they only thanked God and Jesus,
nobody blames Jesus for their loss. Only people, like, support and, like, yeah. I want to thank God for this knockout. It's like, God fucking had a role in me getting knocked out. What am I supposed to do about that?
That's a
good
point.
Where the hell was Jesus back there?
God all of the credit and none of the blame. And apparently, if everybody does it for God, at least half of the people competing, God is betting against. That's an excellent way to look at it.
Yeah, well, that was the starting point, which then escalated to, I've never heard a player be like, I want to thank all the spells I cast on myself this offseason. Like, I didn't train. I did very little working out. I didn't practice. I just cast a bunch of magic on me. It's working out great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, it's like, I want to thank the hoodoo practitioner who placed the seven spells that helped me win.
So we have escalated this to the NFL season is about to start, and we thought it would be great to pick rookies for winning Rookie of the Year. Make Rookie of the Year bets, and then use magic on the people that we pick. Jeff was opening a box of college trading cards, which I greatly misunderstood what they were. I thought they'd all be college players from the previous season, not just a bunch of players that played in college. I thought that was a weird box. Like, the amount of players we got from the previous season.
Yeah, that's how they all work, the collegiate packs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's unfortunate. But we got all these cards, and we had essentially everybody that we wanted on this list, and we drew a card for you, Gavin. So you have a horse in this race.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet. You have a player. Did I get a good one?
That's the thing. Let's talk about that. So it had the one stipulation is an underdog, right?
An underdog.
It had to be somebody who's not slated to win Rookie of the Year. That's definitely Trevor Lawrence, or I can't remember the guy right behind him. So I picked a guy named Najee Harris, who played at the University of Alabama, which is why I picked him. Andrew, who did you pick?
I picked Justin Fields. Who's a quarterback, yeah.
And for you, Gavin, we picked another underdog. We picked a guy named Mac Jones, he was drafted by the Patriots to be potentially their new future quarterback. However, the Patriots had a very high profile quarterback step in after Tom Brady left. And so he was Mac Jones. It didn't look like he was going to start or get a lot of playtime because of this guy. Cam Newton is like a world class, or at times has been a world class, like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, very talented dude, has had some troubles the last few years. And then in a big, big, big surprise on Monday or Tuesday, they cut that dude, and Mac Jones is now the quarterback for the Patriots. So your rookie is now running the show, dude.
I'm in.
In the week since we picked, I think he was like the fifth most likely, like he was a pretty big underdog for winning Rookie of the Year. Since that time, he has now switched to be the favorite. Since the declaration. I don't know what to say about that. Every time I read a story about a rookie, like the Jaguars had one of their rookies get hurt, and I was immediately suspicious that we have somehow caused this, that there is dark magic out there that people are using.
We're
I feel
only
like
using
people are
positive
sending spells
magic.
To you. Yeah. I know we are. We're only endorsing positive magic. You don't know what's going on out there. Yeah. We have no control over that.
Just imagining that Quidditch scene in the first Harry Potter movie.
So congratulations, Gavin. Everything is coming up you right now.
That's awesome. I'm so excited.
I made a huge bet on Justin Fields, and then the next day they're like, Mac Jones is starting for the Patriots.
It's a good name too, Mac Jones.
Also an Alabama alum, so you're swimming. We're swimming in the same wake, which is nice.
All right.
Now you just have to figure out what magic you're going to do over the course of the next 6 months, 5 months, however long the NFL season is, to secure your Rookie of the Year victory. Or you know, hire somebody.
Yeah. Figure out someone who knows what they're doing.
You live in Austin. There's a lot of magic in Austin, dude. I can take you to some places.
I feel like I need to buy crystals. That's the thing, right? That's like a good... That's a spell. Yeah. Crystals.
There's a crystal store in Austin. The one that says this place rocks or something. Was it sound?
Yeah, Nature's Treasures. That thing, it's like the crystal and rock store, dude.
It's huge.
Huge. And it's so always packed. It is always packed.
Can I... So if I go to a fortune teller, they can only tell my fortune, right? That's the deal with those?
I think those are the rules.
Is that true, though? Huh. Is that like a governing rule? I think it might just depend on their abilities.
Well, I think it has to be related to you somehow. You can't just ask about like
it's related.
President's fortune.
It's related to him now. I mean, he is now, he and Justin Fields are cosmically tied for the next few months.
If I go to like six fortune tellers and ask who the rookie of the year is going to be for the upcoming NFL season, I wonder what would be said. Huh. That should have been a factor. I should have done more prep work. I should have.
Are you going to give this person multiple choice, or are they going to have to just pluck a name?
They're going to have to tell me who's going to win. I'm not going to give them multiple choice. I want to see what the universe has to say.
What are the chances that any one of them can give you a name of someone who even has anything to do with that sport?
That's on them. You think it's going to be like an eight ball thing where it's like my vision is blurry on this? Like I can't quite. I see a jersey. The name's kind of blurry. I don't know who it is. I'm sorry. I can't help you.
Someone who's going to wear a jersey.
That's an interest. I should do that. I wonder.
Yeah, pay some scammers. Do it.
It's in. Yeah. It's within the spirit of the competition. I think you should. I think you should explore. We should all explore all available options if we want to. If we want to win this thing.
The problem is actually I've already made a pretty big bet on Justin Fields winning. So I feel like if I spend money to learn that the opinion is not Justin Fields, then I've just wasted more money to confirm that.
Yeah, you've wasted money finding out that you've wasted money, basically.
Hey, Gav, real quick, can you just say Mac Jones?
Mac Jones.
Is that good, Eric?
Is that a good take? Need another take?
Oh, no. You can. If you want to give me another one, that's good. That's the whole reason that I picked them for you is I just thought like everyone has like these other ones and it's just Mac Jones feels like a very Gavin name for me.
Wow, that was something. You want to try that again?
Mac Jones.
That's pretty good.
I'm very impressed. That's pretty
good. It's like, wait, who said that? Gavin? Who said that? Gavin or Eric?
I'm excited about me and Mac Jones. I think we'll be, that will go far.
I hate, it's just so you. I like that when it comes to gambling, all you've ever done is fuck me. And then you get Mac Jones and it's just, he's the starter the next day.
I think the natural progression off of us breaking shit occasionally is, and I don't know the legality of this, I want an Andrew gambling show. I just want to watch you lose money. I think that's really good.
Speaking of Andrew gambling and an Andrew gambling show, is an excellent point for me to mention that I have my foot, I'm using it as a footrest right now, is the mini roulette machine I bought for you guys. Roulette wheel. So that would be perfect for Andrew's gambling show.
Andrew was sending me videos of people losing was it blackjack you were sending
me? Yeah, it was blackjack. Yep.
Yeah, and fascinating. People just losing 10 grand in one go and their reactions to it. Oh, I think that'd be great for Andrew.
Here, I'll show you a thing I bought. Jeff, you bought the roulette wheel for us.
Yes, I did.
I went through a bad run. I no longer trust myself to make decisions. I've lost that right. I need to regain that privilege again. So I bought this. I've just been using this whenever I'm like unsure on what I should do about something.
A little bingo globe.
Oh, it's pretty big. It's maybe bigger than it looks. It's So I'll just be like. If I want to do something, I just assign numbers to it and then draw. That's how I make the choices now, because I'm incapable.
Are you ever like, how many chicken nuggets do I want today? Oh, yeah. 14. Okay.
No, I don't 45. Do it like that. I'll be like, okay, I'm not sure. Do I want a 10 piece? Do I want a 20 piece? If it lands between 1 and 29, I'll get the 10. If it's above that, I'll go with the 20. I just have split everything. I'm terrible at making choices. I'll do the thing where I'll like be on Netflix for hours just scrolling. No more. I'll have 5 movies on a list. I'll draw it from the machine. I've solved so many issues with my life because of this machine.
But do you ever go against what the machine tells you? Like,
never. You cannot go against the machine. It has one rule that you must obey the machine. At the point I disobey the machine, what am I even doing? There's no point.
So what decisions are you putting into this? Because surely not every decision. Some decisions you have to make yourself.
No, yeah. if I'm on the fence about something, or if I want to do something, but deep down I think actually that's a bad idea, then I go to the machine to see if it will validate my bad choice.
So what was the most recent one?
Yeah, there you go.
The most recent one was deciding where I was going to order dinner from last night. It was the last time I used the machine.
What were the options?
I got Chinese.
Okay.
Chinese, pizza. I could have got sushi. I had a whole thing. I didn't know what I wanted. So
What number did you draw that gave you Chinese?
17.
Was it 17. Good?
It was delicious. I got the fried rice. It was wonderful. Great time. Let's see. Gavin, think of a number. Think of a number right now. One in 60. There's 60 balls in this machine.
Got it. I got it.
Here's the thing. I think there are 60. When I moved it over there, I made a mistake and all the balls fell onto the floor and shot everywhere. And it's possible there are some behind my fridge. I do not know. I do not know if all 60 are in there at this point.
I feel like you've misbalanced the decisions in your life because some balls fell under the fridge.
It was like a mistake where there were two balls in the chamber, and I thought, I can't get those out. I'll just lift the lid and put my hand in, and it was tired. I wasn't thinking. I just lifted it, and they all fell on the floor. It was
How do you get them out through the top?
No, okay, so do you see the chamber on the right? They bounce into there, and then the sensor above detects, oh, there's the ball, and it stops spinning.
Oh,
but if
so
I
that's,
hold it, it could just keep going.
That thing's a sensor.
Oh.
Yes, so then I push the green button, and a little panel moves, and the ball drops down the chute and into the hole. And then that's how that works. Okay, so you think of a number. Let's see how lucky this is.
Well, do I tell you the number or what?
I'm not sure. No, you think, you know what? You think. You keep it in your head. We'll try right now. It's also very loud. I'm going to warn you.
Why don't
it's
I type it into Discord loud. Once yeah. you've pulled the number?
Okay, I'm pulling it right now. I'm not going to be able to see my screen, so I won't see your Discord post. Are you ready? I'm going to warn people. This is very loud.
Yep.
Also, the machine is broken.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Sounds like a wall falling down.
Okay. We got a number? 43.
That was close.
What was it? What was your number?
54.
That was actually pretty close. That was like my Springer fake number close.
We should, you know how there was that idea that we never followed through with where, Andrew, you could only grocery shop on end caps at the grocery store?
Yes. Well, which like assign I still think, balls to still items?
Think, no, well, that sounds great, too. I think there's a lot we can do with this machine. I'm very excited about the possibilities. But in the short term, it might be funny for you just to take a week or a couple days where every decision in your life has to be made with that machine. Like, what shirt do I put on today?
I love the idea of gamifying.
Am I going to leave the house?
Gamifying your whole life is so funny.
Yeah.
That is, so before I bought the machine, Gavin and I had a conversation about like making all your choices just be random, not up to you. You have to draw a line on questions because like technically everything becomes you have to make a choice. You're making a choice in ways you don't necessarily.
Yeah,
well,
that's how we clarify that you're going to have to make some yourself, because otherwise you could just say like, oh, should I record face today? And then suddenly you don't show up because the balls told you not to.
Yeah, or it could be, you know, an issue of, I need the shit, do I use a toilet? Like, everything, if you make everything a choice.
I think I used the example, should I wipe my ass? And you were just like, that's ridiculous, of course I'm wiping my ass. So.
Yeah. So I think it has to be, that's the kind of code I'm living by. It's things that I either want to do, but also part of me is saying, you don't do that.
Yeah, I think you could be more like, I think I have to shit. Do I shit now or wait 15 minutes? Do I shit now or later? Not like,
It's more to fix indecision than big.
That's a great way to phrase it. I don't feel like, once again, though, the 15-minute thing, are you asking me to shit myself? Like, it depends on the situation. Do I have 15 minutes when I'm making that question? Or is that a question I'm asking when I have more than 15 minutes to hold?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking about my life. Very often, I'll think like, do I have time to take a shit right now? Or do I feel like taking a shit? Because I can hold it a couple. It'd be easier just to hold it and do it later. Like, I don't know.
I feel like if I need a shit, I just go and have one.
It depends on. For me, I can chamber my shits pretty long. I can't do that with pee, but definitely with poop.
A shit in the chamber is such a great combination of words.
Do you feel like you have two chambers?
How do you?
I've got two shit chambers.
Like somehow cars have a reserve gas tank.
Yeah, I got two.
Okay.
Like I can sit down and do a poo and it's done. I could just wipe and get up, or I could do that and then wait about 5 minutes and then round two comes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it just buys me more time between now and the next poo if I get both chambers empty.
I feel like that second, if I, let's say I do that, right? I take a shit and then I eat something like a McDonald's burger, the cavalry is coming within 15 minutes. It's quick. Like that
it's
is
gonna, it's gonna push down the next
yeah,
chamber.
I don't, it's truly like a magic trick within itself. I don't know how to explain it, but they're like, when I eat fast food, certain fast food, the cavalry will come. I didn't know that anyone sent the memo out, but we're going back. It's a round two. We're immediately headed back to the
party. I have a similar thing where I drink iced coffee or cold brew pretty constantly, like water. And that's at least you get at least one shit per cup of iced coffee. So it's like there's some days where you take like it's just like you're just going back and forth from the fridge to get more iced coffee to the toilet. It's a pretty constant stream.
I forgot about dumping in England because it's different, like different food, different diet. It really dwindles down to I was going like once every couple of days, whereas here it's like probably twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I love having an anus that hasn't been used in a day. It just feels nice.
What a weird thing.
Why don't you just try to adopt your British bland, no taste food diet? Like the only reason you shit more in America is because you have better options.
I don't know if that's true.
You should test this. You think if there was a Franklin barbecue in next to your house in Oxfordshire, you wouldn't eat there constantly?
How am I going to test this, Andrew? What do you mean I'm going to test this?
Well, you make the same foods. You eat the same food. You eat the diet you had when you were in England for like a week and see what happens.
I have to import all my meals from England. It's just different shit. It's different ingredients, different sauces. It's not like sugar in the bread and stuff.
I got you. You're being ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's what expats do. You managed to get your hands on Branston pickle. That wasn't so hard.
Yeah. I got fucking multiple cans of salad cream. I like that Gavin's like, I have to eat Wonder Bread when I'm here. I have no choice. It's a law. I can only have this stuff, one type of sugary bread.
The stuff on the British Isle is the stuff that keeps, like the stuff in a jar, like pickled crap and baked beans. They're not like shipping salad and milk and bread and stuff over.
What the fuck do you mean? You get let you make the salad. So like, what does that
saying,
mean?
You're saying British cows make milk that makes you shit less than American cows. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying it's specific to milk, but I mean, they certainly eat different grass and it's different tasting.
I don't know. I feel like salad was a really weird choice by you. And
I was just picking something
point.
That's not going to last.
American salad be making me shit like crazy. No one has ever said that. Ever. Until this moment.
Well, I can't identify the individual different things that make me poop twice a day here and poop once every 4 days in England. Or two. Four's
Gavin, we have had this conversation 20 times over the course of our friendship, and it always boils down to you like the food in America, you have more options that are more exciting to you, that are worse for you, and you can't control yourself in America. And in England, there's less to eat, so you just eat, you make your own pasta all day, all night long, and that's what you eat. And then you never shit.
I don't think, okay, I'm going to try this the next week. Starting next week, I'm going to try and eat stuff that causes me to shit once every 2 days. But I don't think I could do it. With the whole of HEB, I don't think I could do it.
You're acting like shepherd's pie is the most exotic dish that is you cannot access. They don't have the technology to make shepherd's pie in anywhere else.
I need my non-shitting British crisps. The American crisps, they're ripping my asshole apart.
I'd love to hear from comment leavers who have spent significant time between these two countries, because I'm not making it up.
Nobody thinks you're making it up.
What are you?
We don't think it. We just don't think it's the quality of the food. We think you eat shitty food in America because there's a lot of shitty. Because Austin is a shitty food town. It is a foodie town.
Do you think you could do it? Do you think you could eat next week and shit once every 2 days?
I don't know. I've never had that experience. It's like a weird thing to say. What do you mean? Do you think I could do it?
Yeah.
Do you
th-
Can I only shit once every 2 days? Is that what you're asking? Is that the question?
Yeah, if you could change your diet to achieve that.
Well, hold on. Andrew, yeah. How often do you shit every day?
Definitely every day.
How many poops a day do you have?
I probably once, I'd say.
Okay, you average once a day. Gavin, you currently, American Gavin, you average what, twice a day, you said?
Between one and two, but definitely one.
I would say I'm between two and four a day, probably.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm exceptionally healthy. It's the more you shit, the better off you are. It's good for you.
Is that true?
Wait.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I think that just means you're having as much coffee as you should be having water.
It's like you're running shit drills. I'm just getting better. It's better and better.
Running shit drills because you always got a can of Cobra in your
hair. Yeah, that's true, too.
I feel like you just made a 15-minute argument that the reason why Gavin shits more is because he eats shittier food, and then you're like, I have four shits because I'm so healthy. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I got to defend myself here. Also, I am also full of shit. Dude, I'm an anomaly. I'm different because I have to take medicine to make me shit or I'll die because I have that disease. So I have to, every night of my life, I have to drink Miralax, which then makes me shit my brains out, gently, I might add. I the amount of Miralax I go through is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that explains the 4 days sometimes.
Not to turn it into
a full shit podcast like we've had before, but what's Nick and Eric's averages while we've got them here?
Oh, that's a great question.
Once every other day.
Every other day.
Whoa, you're on the English way? How'd you do it?
I don't think I eat too much, so that's probably it. I think it's just probably less food.
I think it's just a quantity thing.
And Nick, what are you shitting, man? Once a day.
But I just have like lunch and dinner. Are you just having lunch?
It's kind of like grazing throughout the day, but nothing's like a huge meal typically.
How about this? Eric, what's on the menu for today? What is your, like, what will you eat from start to finish today?
I had a banana. Mm-hmm. I had broccoli, brown rice, and chicken. I'll probably have like steak and maybe a quesadilla, something to like for dinner. But like all of these are smaller, so throughout the day I'll have some pineapple or watermelon or something like that. Mm. That's probably what I'll have typically.
Damn.
How about you, Gav?
Moderately healthy.
What is your average day? Like you said, you only eat lunch and dinner. So what do you have for lunch today, and what are you gonna have for dinner tonight? I didn't mean to stump you. I'm sorry if that was too hard of a question to answer. I don't want to grind the podcast to a halt or anything. We can move on.
I was thinking about what I had today. I had a smoothie for lunch.
Okay.
Nana about 11. Don't know what I'm going to have tonight.
I don't want to, like, as Gavin said, I don't want to make this too gross, but I have a question of, are all shits equal?
No.
Is there, like, the equivalent? How do you measure? Are we doing, is there a bunt of the shitting world? Like, what is the half?
Is that where you hold out a baseball bat to shit?
Yeah, we're like, it bounces. Yeah, when you're in your... I still honestly don't know how the bat knobs work. We haven't even touched on those, but I'm still confused about that process.
I got an update.
We gotta have the bat knob update.
I just mean, like, is every time you sit on a toilet and shit comes out, is that a shit? Because there's
If you need to wipe, you've taken a shit.
Okay, but I just feel like that scale isn't fair, because there's massive... Because I feel like that...
What, you're just going to sit down and shit like one Malteser and then you're done?
Well, I'm saying that can happen. Think about the fishing world, okay? If I pull out a 20-foot salmon, the biggest goddamn salmon anyone's ever seen, and somebody fishes a goldfish, those shouldn't count as the same thing.
You both those went fishing and you both caught fish.
Yeah, and Nick has brought up an interesting point. He said, what about the rare wipe-free shits? You still had to wipe, so it counts. You still had to see what was on the...
Yeah, it does count.
Why is everything on this podcast, we need to find the regulation version of it? What is that?
Well, it's just...
He likes to have a benchmark.
No, if Jeff is saying I'm shitting four times a day, which
two
seems
to four,
really high...
Two to four. I've shit twice today already, and I don't think I'm done.
See, that's a lot to me. In my head, it can't be what I would consider the average shit. I can't wrap my head around you're taking four average shits a day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, not all shits are created equal, but they're all shits.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm just making sure. I wanted more of a clarification than an argument.
Not every shit is a grand slam. Not every shit is a home run. A lot of shits are doubles and singles. I have a lot of doubles. I have a lot of doubles in my life. I have a lot of, like, I'm in scoring position. I got an extra base. It's good for the team. I haven't scored, but it's way better than a bunt or a single. You know, maybe I advanced the runner if there was somebody on. Maybe I scored a run. I don't know.
But what would the grand slam be?
No, I don't want to know.
I think it's probably whatever happened to Andrew that day when he almost shit on a tree or at the mall or whatever.
No, you know what? I think the grand slam is because you feel good about yourself when it's a grand slam. It is a giant shit that requires no wipe at all. That's the grand slam.
I haven't had a grand slam. You can just get up and go. Very long time.
Love a good grand slam.
Miralax does not allow for grand slams.
Yeah, it's rare. I don't get a lot of grand slams in Austin, I'll be honest.
Out of the water.
The chat is going very gross right now.
What's the knob update?
Yeah, well, I have a knob eight, update.
Knob
eight. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'd like to preface this, by the way, with I'm going to annoy you in this conversation that we're about to have.
What does that mean?
You're going to get annoyed.
Okay. So here's the knob update. I had the 100 baseball bats, full-size baseball bats, right? And I had 900 pre-made knobs. And then eventually I got 1,100 metal tags, numbers 1 through 100 twice. Everything I needed. I began last Thursday or Friday. I got my chop saw that I bought. I set it all up in my backyard. And Saturday and Sunday, I want to say I spent about 7 hours each day. I'm very tan now. Spent 7 hours on Saturday and probably 7 hours on Sunday cutting knobs. I did 102 bats. All 102 bats are knobless. I then had to take the cut knobs, which were imperfect, and sand them down with like a little Black & Decker mouse sander. And then I sanded the bat end, because that was fucked up as well. And I just wanted it to be nice and symmetrical. So I cut 102 knobs. I sanded 102 knobs, and then I sanded 102 bat ends. That was my entire weekend. That was probably 25 hours of work or something over the course of the weekend. Although I gotta say, way fucking better and way more enjoyable and way more fun to do than burning those fucking numbers into those tiny bats. That was way less work, but way shittier work. I enjoyed every second of playing with the power tools this weekend. When I finished that, I then affixed the little metal serial numbers to the knobs that I created, and then affixed the other ones to the knobless bats so they had matches. I have since given those to Rooster Teeth. They have them. They're in Rooster Teeth's possession. So I no longer have 102 bats in my house. What I do still have is 900 bat knobs, which, holy shit, 900 is such a bigger number than 100. It is going to take me the rest of my fucking life to do to put these tags on these pre-made bat knobs. I think I've done about since Monday. I think I've done about 450. So I'm about halfway.
I've seen some of the pictures. I will say the quality of work, excellent. They look professionally done.
I think the audience, the comment leavers who are the purchasers, will be very surprised and pleased with the level of quality. I do. I put a lot of love and effort into it.
But here's the problem. They're all the wrong size. Every single one of them. they're all wrong. We had this conversation. There was size one, there was size two, and there was size three. We agreed that size one was like a button, mm-hmm. and size three was ridiculous. It's like mm-hmm. half the handle. Size two, the perfect knob. You've made every single one in size three.
Okay, here's my rebuttal to that.
Okay.
First off, one, fuck you. Two, I measured and made them the same size as all of the pre-made bat knobs, so they would be uniform. So don't blame me. Blame the 900 bat knobs that I had to match.
I mean, it would have been, obviously, all 900 are the wrong size. It would have been a good opportunity to make 100 of the correct size that could have been, like, you know, the special ones, because they're the actual.
You can suck the poop out of my butthole. That's what you can do.
The third one of the day? The fourth one? Which one?
Any of the four poos.
Or all four. I don't care. I'm pooping pretty regularly throughout the day, so anytime you want to come over, I'm probably within an hour of a poop. You little bitch.
Did you not think when you saw all of the handle
look,
ones
this is the size it is. I'm not gonna go and cut down the 900. I'm just gonna make the 100 the same size. And by the way, dickhead, you know where I live. The shit's been in my house for months. Feel free to come over and help out at any point, whenever you fucking want to.
I'm happy to help. I'm just saying, we got to sand down 900 knobs
they're
to
perfect.
The right size.
No, we don't.
Don't you
they're
mean they're
fine.
Perfect? What do you mean?
They're fine.
And they're too long. How long are they? The knob should be
Hold on.
Stuck on a cabinet.
Hold on, and I'll find out, because I just got to go find a fucking knob, and then I'll measure it. Continue to converse. And oh, by the way, however long, whatever number I come back with, right, if it's 3 inches or 7 inches or whatever, just so you know, whatever that number is the correct fucking number for how big a bat knob should be as of this moment. It is now the regulation bat knob size. No matter what that number is, it is the regulation bat knob size that governs all bat knobs across the galaxy in perpetuity. I'll be right back.
Andrew, you do remember the conversation we had, right, where we had the three different sizes?
You know what? I honestly don't, but I'm glad you do, because this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, you do, Eric. You do, yeah. Right?
Oh, no, I remember. I appreciate
what number
you saying
did we,
that this is going to annoy on? Him. This
I remember
is,
it happened. I don't remember the
oh,
decision.
Oh, no, I remember. I just don't remember what length. I know it was, like, the middle where it wasn't the button and it wasn't, like, half the bat. But, like, yeah. Just before Jeff gets back, what number are you happy with, do you think?
I would want, like, between 1 and 1.5
okay.
to be the actual
okay.
knobs. Anything that's... That right. makes it longer than that,
uh-huh.
to the point where it is long and not like a cube.
Right.
I will say,
you saying 1 to 1.5 it makes me so thrilled for whatever Jeff is going to come back with, because
well, I mean, you can see you can see
no
from
way.
The pictures they're going to be about 3 inches at least. Also,
are you...
what was that, Andrew?
Are you saying that we're selling handles and not,
selling
knobs?
We had the whole conversation. We ended up deciding between a button, a knob, and a handle. He's made 1,000
okay.
handles.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay,
we put this to a public vote, didn't we?
I measured. Do you want just the knob? Like, the part that comes off the knob is what I measured, not the knob itself, right? Like, the
wait,
part that
I like well, it in dinklages as well, very specifically.
Well, someone find the public poll we did. Wait, what are you measuring, Jeff?
It's about 1.5 inches.
Oh, but... Oh. But...
Wait, what?
That is without...
No, I'm kidding. I've been listening to this whole thing. It's 3 inches.
Son of a bitch.
That's how fucking big... That's how big Tony and the merch department made it. So
well,
that's how big it is.
Well, they got it the wrong size. We did it.
Well, fine. How about this, dickhead? Show up at any of the face merch meetings and make your opinion heard. We have them every 2 weeks. You're always invited. You've showed up to 0 merch meetings.
We didn't need a merch meeting. The comment leavers voted. You did it on Instagram.
The comment leavers don't make the bat knobs. The merch department does.
They buy them.
Oh, man, I had a completely different issue that I thought it was unrelated. I'm so happy that yours is this.
Have you got a different issue with
that? I do have a different issue.
Oh, I can't wait for you.
What's your different issue?
Well, so we're only selling the knobs, right? Like, we're selling the knobs?
No, I don't know what we're selling to this point. I don't know. I was thinking, I was talking about this with Emily the other night. I was thinking we should sell... The 900 knobs will sell as knobs, right? But the other, the 102... I think those should be blind item. You're buying one or the other and you don't know. It's a 50-50 chance. Do I get the knob or do I get the knob end? Or the bat end?
Oh, like a bit of a knob blind
like
box.
A blind box. Like a blind
that
box.
That was my issue. I'm going to put... This is a terrible... It's the only one that I could find, and it's largely obstructed. It's from our most recent break shit stream. You're holding the bat up. Our logo is on the end of the bat, and then you cut off the bottom part. So I was curious, why did we put a logo on the end of the bat if
well,
we weren't going to sell it?
But feel like
we had this discussion.
I feel like we've had that discussion multiple times. There's nothing we can do
I
about it
I just have
now.
No idea what's going on.
Also,
the no
cereal,
clue.
I will say this, because, you know, we all shared and agreed that was ludicrous. But I will say that in my mind, that was solved because when I started putting the serial numbers on, I realized that the serial numbers say face on them. So... It is technically labeled on the other end.
Sure. Good to know. That was mine. I wasn't sure if we were going to sell like what we were doing with the other half. I thought we were selling full bats and knobs. Mm-mm. Not that we were just doing knobs and then Mm-mm. the halfbacks.
How are we Mm-mm. still having this particular conversation?
I don't know.
What are we selling? This is incredible. Hey, Jeff. Yeah. Do you like producing? Are you having a good time? Because this is what it is all the time for every show.
It's the best.
I feel like I do feel very, because obviously I wasn't in the meetings. I haven't helped in any way, and I'm still annoyed by it. So I feel like, you know, maybe I'm the asshole in this situation. But I'm pretty sure they should all have been size number two. Pretty sure about that.
Well, you know, for the record, I wanted size number one, and I acquiesced to two. And if they ended up as three, I don't give a fuck, dude. I voted for one. I don't want them. I just wanted it to be a fucking. I just wanted it to be a knob. I didn't want any end on it. Y'all are the ones that fought for the ends.
No, I like the knob. I'm a fan of the knob.
The reason this is perfect, though, is that it's been completely faced again, and this is the perfect product.
Here's what I'm looking forward to.
We're selling handles.
We sell these items, right? We started with the 50 bats, mini bats. Then we've gotten to the knobs. Now we've got the 100 self-cut and then the 900. So the next order is going to be, I think, probably at least 10,000 knobs. And I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to take a backseat and I'm going to let you do those, Gav. You have, you're very opinionated on knob size, on shaft length. And instead of fighting against the tide and getting it wrong every time and then being a huge embarrassment to the company and the podcast, I'm going to take a step back. And when we do the run of 10,000, I'm going to let you cut them all. And then we'll know they're going to be done to Gavin's exacting standards, which I think makes sense to me.
Can I borrow your tools?
Absolutely.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. I feel like, Gavin, you said that you feel like you're the asshole in this process. I think that's been the constant throughout this. All you've done is cause chaos. I remember like 3 months ago, it feels like Eric, Jeff, and I were in a merch meeting. We settled all of this. It all made sense. For the first time, it clicked. Then we recorded like 30 minutes later, and you asked three questions and make arguments that we couldn't counter, where you just like you threw a fucking wrench into everything. Ooh. You weren't there. You just all you've done is cause chaos in this process.
I feel like I was asking good questions.
Maybe you should ask them at the meetings.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's saying your questions are bad. I think that maybe they were just asked at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, just have the meetings on Slack and I can read them and reply to them. A meeting is that's extreme. A meeting about a bat knob. Mental.
There's so much. There's so much that is not that. There's so much discussed in those meetings that we go, oh, and this.
Yeah, it is no joke, dude. There's a lot of ground that gets covered in those meetings for sure. Like the new jet ski merchandise that we should talk about at some point.
We didn't even talk about our jet ski adventure.
We'll have to talk about it next episode.
All right. I'm really excited to get a bat handle. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I hope you. I feel like
you're overselling the handle now. I feel like you feel bad.
I hope you quickly on the store when they go for sale because they're going to go fast. And I don't have any extras to give you, so you can buy one like the rest of them.
Oh, I didn't get a special one. That's fair.
I didn't make special ones this time. Okay. I did. I made two special ones, but they're not for y'all. I made because we had 100 and then there were more bats. And I thought just in case I miscounted. Because I was numbering them as I went. I was like, just in case I miscounted, let me do two extra ones. And then I'll just affix numbers to them. But then I realized there's only one 101 and one 102. So I hand wrote those. So those are the two special ones. And I signed them.
Is there such thing as a saw that has sandpaper on the circular bit? It like saws and sands.
Saws and sands. That is a great invention if it doesn't exist. And you should patent it.
Okay.
We could sell it, and then I'll complain it's the wrong size.
Should we stop talking so that we can start talking again very quickly?
Yeah.
We
need
to all right. These. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of... I have no idea what episode this was. Do you guys know?
67.
Jesus Christ. All right. Episode 67. If you like Face, or even if you're just okay with Face... maybe buy some Face merchandise at store.roosterteeth.com or just go to roosterteeth.com and click on the store link. We'll have bat knobs. We have waffle bombs. We have fuck buttons. We have child kicker merch. There's all kinds of dumb shit you could buy. There you go. You could buy. Also, we have a YouTube channel that has cool stuff like my bike trick on it that you can check out.
Did phenomenally well. Got like 70,000 views or something.
It's doing great.
Wait till we drop the next mixtape.
We should end this with a magic trick. Jeff, think of a number between 1 and 60 really quick. Just think of one. Tell me when you have it.
Okay, I got it.
Okay. 19.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What number did you say?
19.
You're breaking up. You said 19, right?
Yes.
No
yes.
way.
Check no what I, fucking check what I
wrote. Way.
Check no way. Fucking yeah. way.
Yeah.
Are you Wait. Taking the piss?
This is bullshit. No way. Wait.
Do you know why
I'll take a photo
I'll
right now.
Very, very clearly tell you why I picked 19, because my birthday.
No.
This is, no. This
my
is
birthday was June 19th, did so you I immediately that? Wrote 19
no.
down.
This I actually, I planned no. the opposite. I wanted to keep doing it for as long as annoyingly possible, expecting it to never hit.
I literally read it in the Discord half a second before you said it.
Me too. Me too.
Here we go.
This isn't real.
No.
Holy shit. Well,
what are the odds?
I have
one in,
no,
one in 60.
Yeah.
I have no.
We actually don't know. I don't know how many balls are in the machine. we truly don't know the odds.
1 in 50 something, probably. I have no idea how that happened or what that means, but it can only be, it can only portend positive things going forward. It's got to be good luck,
show
right?
Is so stupid.
We should sell, oh my God, we should sell number 19 ping pong balls and we all autograph them. Lucky 19 ping pong balls. That's our next thing.
Okay, wrap it up. Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
That'll be the size of a tennis ball.